The Chasm. Read.
Would you run?
Incredulous, I glanced over my shoulder at Beau, who lagged behind. He clutched his ribs with one hand. With each stride, he nearly impaled himself with his balisarda. He'd stolen it from Philippe. We hadn't bothered to free him.
You run!
Panting, he gestured around the empty street with his other hand. It held another knife.
I can't fucking breathe, and if you haven't noticed, there's no one here.
I scowled and pushed onward. He had a point. This street, that street, every street we'd passed for the last quarter hour had been virtually empty. We'd succeeded in sequestering most pedestrians inside their homes, inside shops, inside any buildings we could fortify. Father Achille and Johannes Pan had converted the boucherie next door into an infirmary. They treated the injured there. They gathered the dead. The witches had withdrawn. It had happened slowly, almost imperceptibly. One moment we'd fought scores of them, too many to count, werewolves and huntsmen, men and women. Even Melusines rising up from the Dolor like sea serpents had fought tooth and nail to contain them. As the hour had passed, however, each had slipped from the fray, one by one, slipped through our fingers, as if answering some unspoken call. My own breath quickened with each step. They couldn't have simply vanished. My voice hardened with resolution. We need to find them.
We need to find our wretched little sisters!
Waving his knife for me to stop, Beau clutched his knees. I scowled, doubling back, and pulled him onward. We would find them. If not, we'd regroup with Lou and Coco, with Father Achille and Jean-Luc and Celie, and we'd determine another strategy. When we rounded the corner, however, all plans of planning fled. At the end of the street, a horde of witches collected in the shadows. Beau hissed as I shoved him behind a garbage can, but it mattered not. Dozens of heads snapped in our direction. I exhaled a heavy breath, a resigned one. Slowly, I rose to my feet. Beau followed with a curse, muttering,
"Have you ever heard of manifestation?" "Shut up!" "You shut up!"
He lifted his balisarda and knife with white knuckles as three witches broke apart from the rest. The others refocused their attention on something at the center of the group, something that rattled. Eyes narrowing, I stepped closer.
"Actually, don't.
I'd love to hear the next step in your let's find the bloodthirsty witches plan." The clink of metal. Thick rings. A chain. My brow furrowed as the three witches moved shoulder to shoulder, blocking my view. It was a chain. An ancient, crusted chain. From the glimpse I'd gotten, it looked long enough to encircle half of Caesarine. Wide enough, too. A memory harried my subconscious, half realized. I'd seen this chain in Chateau Leblanc's treasury.
"Hello, princelings," the middle witch crooned.
With a jolt of shock, I recognized her amber face from Modranit. It felt like years ago.
"Elaina." "No,"
Beau winced as they drew to a halt before us. Identical black hair and narrow noses, full lips, they twisted with identical menace.
"That one is Eleanor. I'd recognize her aura of disdain anywhere."
He pointed a finger to his teeth, flashing a charming smile.
"Do you remember me now, sweetheart? Do you see the opportunity you missed?"
"Oh, I remember you,
Burke.
You made me look a fool in front of the entire coven."
"It doesn't matter now," her sister said, either Elena or Elodie.
"We've been looking for you both all night," the other finished. "Thank you for making this easy."
Though all three crooked their fingers at once, nothing happened. No patterns reared to strike. Beau waggled his balisarda at them, grinning anew.
"Something wrong?"
Eleanor bared her teeth.
"Ask your sister."
"What does that
They attacked before he could finish, slipping knives from their sleeves and launching toward us. Elena and Elodie at me, Eleanor at him. Though quick, though furious, the sisters clearly hadn't trained for physical combat sans magic. With a sense of dread at those chilling last words, I dispatched the first of them swiftly, while Beau battled Eleanor strike for strike. Her sister's blood still dripped from my blade when I turned to face Elodie. The earth beneath us rolled. I staggered at the movement, glancing down incredulously. Cobblestones broke to pieces. All around, foundations cracked, tiles littered the street, and Xena, from somewhere above, she let out a mighty roar. The witches ahead tensed, renewing their efforts with haste. Half had climbed the drainpipes, stringing the chain taut between rooftops like a wire. Magic coated everything. I couldn't make sense of it, couldn't think. The ground kept shaking. Sensing my distraction, the sister slashed her blade down in a mighty strike. Though I recoiled, though I lifted my own blade to parry, another knife whizzed past my face, close enough to feel its heat on my cheek, and lodged in the sister's chest. With a squeak of surprise, she sank to her knees, slipped sideways, and moved no more. Behind us, Beau stood triumphant. Eleanor stilled at his feet. "Did you see that?" Though he waved his balasarda at the vengeful witch's body, he glanced away quickly. He swallowed hard. "I saved your life!" I blocked his view of their corpses, knocked his shoulder with my own, forced him to turn. "You also set me on fire. Perhaps you could conjure some up for the rest of these?" With another thunderous roar, Xena swept into view. The sight of her wings against the sky, of her white-hot flame, stole the breath from my throat. And I remembered. A torchlit stage, a starry cloak, and Xena. Xena weaving a heart-wrenching tale of dragon and maiden.
"A magic chain her kin doth wield to stay him on an even keel. And when Tarrasque did spiral down, her father felled him to the ground."
With Seraphine atop her back, Xena dove low, too low, scouring the streets for persons unknown. When she saw us, she swooped even lower. She didn't see the chain until it was too late. "Wait! No! Stop!" At the desperate wave of my arms, she banked, but her foot still caught the links. The chain moved of its own volition, slinging rapidly around her leg, up her haunch. With a bellow of rage, she began to fall, and as she did, her leg, it transformed into that of a human. Gruesomely, the witches descended like ants when she crashed to the ground. The impact threw Seraphine through the air with frightening speed. She collided with the trash cans nearest us.
"Oh my God," Beau said. "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God!"
Xena's roars transitioned to screams as Seraphine struggled to move. I bolted toward her, kicking the trash cans aside. "Seraphine!" She pushed my hands away with surprising strength.
"Go!"
Though Beau attempted to drag her upright, she shook him off too, unsheathing another sword from down her back. She swung both equally with surprising dexterity.
"Find Claude and the others! Find Lou! He intervened!"
"What?"
Beau asked, perplexed. My gaze darted toward Xena, who the witches had lashed and beaten with the chains. She'd fully transformed now, human once more, vulnerable.
"Let us help.
I am no damsel."
Springing to her feet, she knocked us aside and streaked toward her mate.
"Find Claude. Leave Xena to me."
The ground gave a mighty lurch in response, and we had no choice. We sprinted up the street.
"Where are we going?"
Though Beau's shout tore through my senses, I ignored him, pressing harder, faster. Blood roared in my ears as we followed the fissure, tracking its path through West End, past the Tremblay's townhouse, and skidding to a halt outside Brindell Park. Buildings crumbled now, witches and Melusines alike scattered. Claude stood in the middle of the street, completely and carefully still. He faced the spindly Brindell's trees. He faced Coco and Lou. The fissure ran directly between them, cracking wide, forcing them to leap apart.
Lou!
Her name shredded my throat, but I shouted it louder. I shouted it crazed. When her face jerked up, her eyes meeting mine, a cold fist of fear gripped my heart. Though I cast for a golden pattern, none could have prevented this. None could have stopped it. She tried anyway, flinging both hands toward the ground. Her entire body strained, trembled. The sharp scent of magic exploded over the grass, the rocks, the trees, stronger than ever before. But this fissure was stronger, deeper, older than even La Dame des Sorcières. Together, helpless, we watched as the earth broke open completely. As Claude plummeted into its depths without a word. As the fissure kept growing, kept spreading, until Brindell Park, until half of the entire city fractured from the rest, separated by a yawning chasm. Still, it grew. Coco's voice rose to join mine, and she backpedaled, preparing to take an impossible leap. Bo caught her shirt at the last second. He ripped her toward him. "Are you crazy?"
"Let me go!"
She pounded his chest, stomped on his feet, twisted to elbow him viciously. Only then did he release her with a gasp.
"Please, Coco, don't!"
But she didn't leap this time. Instead, she dove to the chasm's edge, hands latching onto a blood witch's wrist. Another, screaming, they dangled helplessly, their nails clawed at rock, at Coco's skin. Realizing her intent, Bo dashed to help, and together they pulled the witches to safety, collapsing together in a heap. When the dust settled, Bo, Coco, and I stood on one side of the chasm. Lou and Celie clutched each on the other. Behind them loomed Morgan Leblanc.